If you search online for unhealthy foods to avoid, hot dogs, diet soda, processed pastries are high on the list. How many of you did not know that? But there are healthy foods. They say that the cabbage-like plant kale is number one for best food, widest range of benefits. They also say eggs, fish, broccoli are high on the list as well. What I guess I'm saying is there are unhealthy foods and there are healthy foods. The American Heart Association says we need to reduce our consumption of highly processed, high-calorie food and drink. Especially ladies, you need to watch your salt intake. They stress ladies. But again, the problem is they're talking about things that taste so good. In considering not necessarily our physical health this morning, but our spiritual health, I want us to see from one of Judas King's good kings what we need to avoid and what we need to pursue in our spiritual walk. You know, we stress the importance of eating well, eating healthy. Well, spiritually, we need to eat well. We need to eat healthy. In fact, we should put more emphasis on that than even what we consume physically. Well, let's begin with verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 14. You read this verse earlier, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. What a statement. I pray that could be said of you and me, that you and I do what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. His good is seen in the following 3 points, and these will be our outline this morning. Point number one, Asa led Judah rightly by opposing false worship. Point number two, Asa led Judah rightly with security reforms. And point number three, Asa led Judah rightly by heeding the word of the Lord. All good things. He opposed false worship, instituted good security reforms, and he heeded. He had an ear to hear and to obey the word of God. Our first point this morning is Asa led Judah rightly by opposing false worship. This king launched a religious reform movement that was designed to cleanse the nation of an idolatrous system, and this system officially sanctioned sin. You don't want a religion that sanctions, that advances, that excuses, that promotes sin. And what did he do? He replaced it with true worship. And what a wonderful start. I mean, here's the biography of Asa, and it begins by saying he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And this good start, this wonderful start, this true worship is described in verse 4. And commanded Judah, notice, to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Now, Asa could not force people to seek and obey God, but he did what he could do, which was to command Judah with a moral force, and then to back it by his own example. Now, please understand, this obedience to the law was not some sort of legalism. You know, whenever you talk about rules and regulations, oh, you're just legalistic. No, it does mean a means of maintaining true worship with God. Do you know God gives us laws, rules, regulations, so that we can then walk in such a way as to have a relationship with him? You just don't approach God any old way. You can't just serve him in any old way. He has a certain protocol that we must follow if we want to serve him, if we want to come into his presence. And that protocol is contained in his rules, his laws, his regulations. And this king encouraged the people of Judah to obey God. Now, specifically, what were some of these sacred reforms that he implemented? Well, verse 3 tells us, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. And high places were elevated platforms upon which cultic objects were placed and worshipped. And images were freestanding stones, which literally pillars, which symbolized false deity. And groves were carved poles or trees that symbolized the goddess Asherah, the consort of Baal. Again, Asa removed everything that stood against the fellowship and the worship of the one true God. These were amazing reforms. The next good thing Asa did, and this is our second point, he rightly led Israel with security reforms. And verses 6 and 7 tell us that Asa refortified Judah's defensive posts, which his grandfather Rehoboam had secured, but which Shishak from Egypt had then captured. And also he raised an army of 580,000 from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And these soldiers were skilled spearmen and bowmen. When the Bible says they were skilled, they were skilled. Maybe they were of Olympic quality. Now, establishing walled cities and raising an effective army were good security reforms. But Asa realized that Judah's true and chief defense was their dependence on God. It's good to have walls. It's good to have soldiers. It's good to have spearmen who can hit the target, but Asa knew in his heart, and thus he conveyed to the people that he ruled, that our true defense comes to pass in our dependence, in our trust in the living God. Notice verses 6 and 7. And he, Asa, built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years not because of the walled cities, but because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, that we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and what? Prospered. They built, they prospered. God was their strength. God was this very present help in time of trouble. And so he said, we will seek him. We will seek him. And frankly, it is our privilege, it is our duty as believers to do the same, to seek the Lord on behalf of not only our family and this church, but this country. Friends, our country's safety is found in God's people seeking the omnipotent God. Our security comes not when the unsaved seek God, but when believers seek God. We quoted so often 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and heal their lands. I think it's a very valid question to ask. Are you seeking the Lord? When you get up in the morning, are you seeking the Lord? When you walk through the day, are you saying, Lord, my heart seeks you. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you. Which then means when we seek the Lord, when he is before us, nothing can stand against us. You know, I love the words of Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be. Listen. For I, saith the Lord, will be a wall of fire around about and will be the glory in the midst of her. We can build walls. We can have the best Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard in the world. But friends, our true defense is the wall of fire that God puts around our nation. I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about thee. Well, Asa's reformed army soon faced a very formidable foe. I want you to notice verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Mareshah. This was a very large army. If you multiply 1,000 by 1,000, what do you get? 1,000,000. Think about it. An army of 1,000,000 came against Judah and Benjamin. Historians tell us this conflict was most likely a proxy war fought on behalf of the Egyptians, who had ongoing conflicts with Judah and other nations to the northeast. And Mareshah, which was a fortified city located about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem, was the location of this battle. Now notice the strategy Asa used in his war plans. Notice verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee and in thy name, and we go against this multitude. Remember, it was 1,000,000 strong. O Lord, thou art our God. Thou art our God. We're looking to you. We're trusting you. Asa's prayer for help began with an acknowledgement of the singular power and strength of the Lord. Do you know that true power and strength only resides in the Lord? We think our strength lies in our hydrogen bombs. Folks, hydrogen bombs are nothing to the Lord. Our strength, power, comes from Him. And then he confessed their need for His divine power and might. And because the Lord was their God, Lord, we know that you will go before us in battle. You will fight for us. For after all, our enemy, Asa was praying, is not fighting us, but is fighting you. But then God prompted Asa to pray. Look at the end of verse 11. Let not man prevail against thee. He didn't say, let not man prevail against us. He said, let not man prevail, Lord, against you. I'll tell you, I know who won that battle. Amen? Let not man prevail against you. And because it is an impossibility for any man or any army to prevail against God, we know the outcome of this battle. Verse 12. So the Lord smote. It doesn't say Judah smote, but the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Which says Asa's prayer was clearly what? It was answered. Their victory from the Lord was decisive. And then the description of the extent of this achievement and the plunder Judah carried away was truly an example of the Lord. When the Lord wins the battle, I mean, it's won. And here we see that when God wins the battle, he does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think in the giving of the victory. Notice verse 13, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gir. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gir, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. When was the last time in America that the fear of God came upon this land? The fear of God. Verse 15, they smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Gir was a Philistine city south of Gaza. Now I must say God truly prospered Asa in the southern kingdom. The good that Asa did paid huge dividends. The good that Asa did paid huge dividends. That's why it matters who occupies the White House. That's why it matters who occupies the State House. That's why it matters who occupies the county seat. God takes notice of rulers who fear him. And when a nation elects people who don't fear him, that nation is not going down the right road. And the bridge is always out when you go down the wrong road. But God honors those who seek him. God honors a nation whose rulers, whose leaders seek him. Psalm 84:11, one of my favorite verses. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He's that wall of fire. The Lord gives grace and glory. If you know it, say it with me. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. And then Asa's good is seen, and this is our third point this morning, his heeding the word of the Lord. Let's look now at chapter 15. After this great divine victory, the Lord sent his prophet Azariah to solidify the commitment and the faithfulness of Asa and the nation. You know, oftentimes after a great victory, you can let down your guard. You can say, oh, I got this one. Lord, you gave us victory. All right, I'll call you when I need you. No, God wants us always to feel and to know we need him. Even when we're on the mountaintop, we need the Lord. And so God sent this prophet named Azariah to, again, solidify the commitment and faithfulness of Asa and the nation. And so as Asa and Judah's army were returning from this massive victory, I mean, they had plunder, they had the spoils of war with them. This man of God met him and said, verse 2, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That is true today. Friends, if you are seeking God, you will find him. If you are forsaking him, he will forsake you. You don't want to live a life in which God is forsaking you. Asa, if you want the continued presence of the Lord, if you want all his blessings, you must seek and obey the Lord. Honestly, I think sometimes we try to make things so complicated. It's really that simple. You seek, you obey God, you find God. You say, God, I got this one. You forsake him, I'll tell you, God's nowhere to be found. He'll forsake you. Then Azariah reflected back on Israel's history by saying that there was a time when God's chosen people did forsake the Lord. And he was talking here, of course, of the time of the judges. And consequently, Israel during this time was without the direction and protection of the Lord in the form of his priests mediating the law. There was no vision. There was no law of the Lord being proclaimed and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the result, there was this ongoing cycle of disobedience, distress. An enemy of Israel came in and captured a tribe here and some tribes there. But then a crying out to the Lord, which was followed by God's deliverance. We see that in verse 4. But again, this repeated pattern of every man doing what was right in his own eyes caused God to chasten them with adversity. By the way, when God chastens you, it's not that he hates you, it's because he loves you. He's drawing you back. He's saying, hey, I'm warning you, the bridge is out. There's a cliff that you are coming to. And he'll get our attention by starting to spank us. Amen. Chasten us. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so God allowed adversity to come upon Israel. as I think of the time of the judges, I somehow feel that God is vexing our country right now. Friends, a nation, and I say this with all the love I can in my heart, but a nation cannot promote the killing of the unborn and rebel against God's definition of marriage and not suffer very painful consequences. Remember, when we forsake God, when we turn from His ways, when we turn from His ways, He forsakes us and the enemy comes in like a flood. His protection is removed. I think we're seeing that at the southern border. I think we're seeing that in Afghanistan. I mean, they have released thousands and thousands of terrorists. And who knows where they'll go. Friends, we are living in perilous times. And it's because our nation has stopped seeking God. And the problem is, Christians are asleep at the wheel. I need to raise my hand. Am I truly seeking God? Oh, it's time for Sunday. Oh, I guess I better try to go. Pastor will wonder, well, where is so-and-so? Do I have time to read God's word? Do I have time to pray? If that's your mindset, you're not seeking God. Just to be honest with you, if church is something convenient, you're not seeking God. No wonder we're in the mess we are. Right now, I fear for our country. And so the prophet's divine message to Asa, in view of your present reforms and dependence upon the Lord, wow, and recalling Israel's failures of the past, don't repeat the past. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work, verse 7, shall be rewarded. Asa, all you are doing in seeking me and challenging Judah and Benjamin to seek me, you are rewarded for that. If you seek me, you shall find me, the word of God says, when you search for me with what? All your heart. When was the last time you put your heart into seeking God? Perhaps you remember these same words of the Lord were spoken to a leader who then conquered and achieved great victory, namely Joshua. God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. And how are we strong? How are we courageous? When we observe to do according to all that is written in the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this next verse, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And what God said to Joshua, God was saying to Asa through the prophet Azariah. Well, what was Asa's response to this message from the prophet? Notice verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Asa did five things. This verse gives us about two or three, and then the rest of the chapter gives the other things that Asa did in response to Azariah. Number one, he removed abominable idols. The Hebrew word used here means detestable things, which included anything associated with idolatry. Anything associated with idolatry is detestable. And then number two, he rebuilt the great bronze altar at the Lord's temple, which implies that some form of desecration had occurred there. And number three, he removed, and you see this in verse 16, This guy was serious. He even removed his mother, Maacah, from being queen because she had encouraged idolatry. Look at verse 16. She was not the Proverbs 13 woman of virtue. Again, for this king to be willing to dethrone his own mom because she was a worshiper and promoter of idolatry means he was really serious about following the Lord. I mean, when you mess with mom, that's serious. You know, mom ain't happy, no one's happy, but he wanted to make sure God was happy. And then number four, he enriched the wealth and prestige of the temple. Verse 18. You say, well, what does that mean? It was all about God. It was all about you, Lord, and our worship of you. And where did the people meet God? At the temple. So he wanted to make sure Judah and Benjamin knew that God was supremely primary. He said, we're going to take care of the house of God. And then number five, and really all of these can kind of come into number five. Central to Asa's reforms was the fact that he renewed God's covenant that was established between him and the Lord, between the Lord and Judah. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And in doing so, I mean, you talk about right influence. Doing so moved a segment of the tribes from the northern kingdom to join Judah. Why? Because they saw that the Lord God was with them. When people look at you, can they say, you know, God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. This covenant of commitment to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul, was truly the high point of Asa's reign. Not only the high point of his reign, but the high point of his life. Do you have a high point? Do you have this high point in your life? Oh, might this be the pinnacle of our lives. Might we commit to seek the Lord with all of our heart and soul, then to follow through on that commitment day after day. Verse 10 states this, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, 15th year of the reign of Asa. There probably is a reference to the Feast of Weeks, one of the three required pilgrimage feasts. And then using some of the livestock they had seized from the villages round about Gir, priests offered up. Remember this huge slaughter, this huge victory. The priests offered up a sacrifice of 700 cattle, 7,000 sheep, and those refusing to participate in this covenant were put to death for their dissent because their refusal indicated their enmity of the Lord and acceptance of other gods. But those who wholeheartedly pledged their continued faithfulness, verse 15, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest around about. This rest is further referenced at the end of the chapter, verse 19, and there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And so we end this first point of Asa's life, the blessed part, the part when Asa did good. By the way, next week we're going to look at the bad and the ugly. Asa's life consists of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Chapters 14 and 15, the good. Chapter 16, the bad and the ugly. But praise the Lord for the good, amen? Did what was right regarding religious reforms, security reforms, and the heeding the word of the Lord spoken to him by the prophet Azariah. What can we glean from this, the good of Asa's reign? Well, we began this message talking about what is physically good to eat and what is not. It's good when we choose kale over Twinkies, water over soft drinks, fresh fruit over candy bars. It's good when we do that. But even more critical, crucial, is our spiritual health. So let me ask you, number one, are you removing everything in your life that stand against the fellowship and worship of your God? Maybe some of us need to do some house cleaning when we go home. Heart cleaning. Doing so is spiritually healthy for you and your family. Number two, are you, like Asa, finding safety and security and then victory in the Lord as you cry out to him during your spiritual battles? Let me just ask you, are you seeing victory in your life? I mean, we're all tempted. We all have flesh that is so strong. So strong. Can you say, by God's grace, I'm living in victory? I put on the whole armor of God, and I am, by God's grace, I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Such spiritual health is good for you and your family, dads. And then number three, are you heeding God's word? Honestly, I've said some tough things today. What is your response? What does your heart say? Not on my watch, Pastor. Or Lord, tell me what I need to do. Are you heeding God's word as Asa did when he received the prophet's message? The problem with Christians is they hear the word, but it never gets down to their heart. They hear the word, but they don't become what? Doers of the word. God wants you to heed the word. And when you do so, it's a benefit to both you and your family. Young people, how you live is a benefit to you and your family. It matters, young people, how you live. I say let's pray for spiritual, healthy hearts, spiritual, healthy lives. Remember Proverbs 8:35, he that findeth me, he that seeks me and finds me, findeth life, life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And again, we quoted this earlier, no good thing does God withhold from them who do what? Walk uprightly. And God's people said, amen.